How's everybody doing today? Everybody ready for Christmas? Well, listen, I remember the very first time that I had the opportunity to be pretty involved in purchasing a Christmas gift for a family member. I was about 5 years old. My dad took me to the store, and we were going to choose a gift for my mom. And this particular time, I'm sure he guided me properly, but we bought a wallet for my mom. My dad told me ahead of time that not only would I get to participate in the purchase of the gift, but I would actually be able to help wrap the gift and set it all up. I would be so involved in this. So as a five-year-old kid, I was incredibly excited. I went upstairs with this gift, ran past my mom, went upstairs to my mom's room, and pulled out the wrapping paper and began to work on wrapping the Christmas gift, which now that I'm telling the story, I'm thinking the wrapping I did when I was 5 years old probably looks the same as what I do today. I'm just a terrible wrapper, and I put it out, and I went to go wrap, but then all of a sudden, I heard a rap on the door. It was my mom, and she said, "Jeff, I need to come in and get something." Well, my heart started to race, and here was this unwrapped purse or wallet that was laying on the bed, and I didn't know what to do. And so I said, "Mom, just give me a second. And so I took everything, and I looked around the room trying to figure out where I could hide it. And so I opened the closet, and I threw the wrapping paper and all the scissors and tape in there, and then I threw the wallet on top of everything in the closet, closed the doors, and thought, "Man, I've hid this really well." My mom walks in. She says, "I just need to get something," walks over to the closet, opens the closet, and there is her gift. Did a terrible job of hiding it. Wouldn't it be great if the best things in life were in plain sight? Wouldn't it be great if you just had to simply just look, and there that special thing that you so desperately desire or something such a blessing was right there before you? It would be great if things were just always in plain sight, but that's not the way it works. Often, the best things in life are hidden. Think about Christmas morning. I'm sure those of you who are prepared, you have your Christmas tree up, and you have Christmas gifts underneath the tree, and they're not just the gifts themselves, but they're wrapped up in paper with bows and stickers designating who the gifts are for. The gifts are hidden from the people that they're for. Because on Christmas morning, you're not just pulling out that sweater and handing it to your wife. You're not just pulling out that toy and handing it to your kid. You're pulling out something that is hidden. And there's this joy and anticipation of finding that which is hidden, opening it up and discovering that something special. Well, I don't know about you, but in the Christmas season, and not just at Christmas time, there are times in my life where things are so busy where the most precious thing to me feels hidden. There are times in my life where things are so busy, it feels like Jesus is hidden. I don't know about you, maybe you have easy access to Jesus all the time. Maybe you just start to pray, "Dear Jesus," and all of a sudden he just shows up and you're like, "Oh, he's here." But there are moments in my life where it just feels like Jesus is hidden. And I sometimes wonder, what does it take to find Jesus? And I want to share from a passage from the Christmas story about finding Jesus. It's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 18. It says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them." God sends angels to the shepherds. This is so important. God sends the angels to the shepherds to tell them that the Messiah has been born. He desires that mankind will know that this God is accessible to them, and in particular, he wants the shepherds to know not just that the Messiah is born, but the Messiah is accessible to them. "Hey, shepherds, I'm sending angels to give you an announcement because I want you to know that that which is hidden is accessible to you." And then the angels give two pieces of information. He's born in the town of David, and he's wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. There are no GPS coordinates. There is no street address. There is no hotel name that they're supposed to look for. They are given very limited information. This is important because God desires that the shepherds would find Jesus. And yet he only gives them pieces of information. And yet the Bible tells us that these shepherds find Jesus. How do they do this? Very, very simple. The very first thing that it takes when it comes to finding Jesus in our lives is to move. To move. Now, I don't mean moving to another house or another city, but to move. Verse 15 says, "Let us go." They don't have a specific route, but they depart to explore. You see, finding Jesus comes when we move from the place we're at to the place that we want to be. It's where we move from the place we're at to another place in the pursuit of something that we're looking for. And not always do we know the journey. Not always do we know what all the steps in the journey. You know when you turn on your Waze or your Google Maps, it doesn't tell you, hey, you're going to jump on this route and then all of a sudden you're going to be at your destination. It tells you, hey, in 6 kilometers you're going to be turning a right. And you just start to move and you don't know every part of the way. Well, this is what the shepherds are doing. They said, let us go. Let us begin to move. Let us move from the place we're at to another place so that we can get closer to where Jesus is at. The same takes place in your spiritual life. If you want to find Jesus more regularly in your spiritual life, it requires that you move from the place you're at to another place, even if you don't know the full path of how you're going to get to a closer place with Jesus. I've told this church many times about my journey of coming to my awakening in my teenage years with Jesus. And I remember at the age of 15, I won't go through all the details, but I decided I was going to take prayer seriously, that I was going to start to spend more time praying. I don't know about you, but no one ever really taught me how to pray. And there are so many people who say, I like to pray, I know it's important to pray, but I don't know how to pray. And this was me as a 15-year-old. My pastor's preached on prayer many times, and I know I need to find Jesus, but I don't really know what I'm doing, so I'm just going to move. Let's just go. Let's just try something. Let's move from the place where I'm at, where I'm not praying at all, to a new spot. And so I'd go down to my basement, and I'd start to pray. But then I realized is that as I was praying, I get distracted. My mind's always going. And so I knew that what would be best for me is if I turned off the lights. And so I turned off the lights in my basement and sat in the dark and I started to pray. No one ever taught me about turning off lights. I just figured it out along the journey. I had this list in my mind, a petition list, a list of things that I knew I needed to ask Jesus for, a list of where I would speak Jesus over it. And so I began to pray for family members. I prayed for people who didn't know Jesus. I prayed for friends. Every single time I prayed that God would bring me a spouse, a girlfriend that would someday be my spouse. That was an important top priority prayer. I had this list in my mind, and I just kept asking and asking. Every time I went down there, I'd just ask. And then I started to feel like I was using God, that I was just asking for stuff. And I was just coming before him like he was my butler, my servant. And so here I was, and I thought, I need to move from the place I'm at to a new spot. I don't know what this is really going to be like, but I'm going to take some time and I'm actually going to praise God in my basement. And there in the darkness, I would sing songs that we'd sing at church, or I'd tell Jesus how much I loved him. There were times I'd raise my hands in the dark. It was great because you could act foolish in your praise, but nobody would see you. And I just started to praise God. Didn't really know how to do it. I just tried it, just moved. Just moved from the spot I was at to the next spot. And then I start to think that I was doing all the talking. I was like going for like a long time telling God everything I wanted, then I'd praise him, but I never ever had a chance for him to talk to me. And so no one ever taught me about how to hear from God. I would just close my eyes and say, God, what do you want to say? And as things just started popping into my mind, I just would speak out whatever came, and there would be just moments I just knew that these thoughts were coming into my mind were God's words for me. I started off at this place where I didn't know where Jesus was. I just wanted to pray, but I determined, let's go. Let's move. Let's go from the place I'm at to the next place. I'm on a journey, but I don't know how all the paths to Jesus. I just am going to start to walk and do whatever comes naturally. You see, too many people miss Jesus because they're waiting for him to show up instead of wanting
to move towards Him. They make excuses like I did prior to this 15-year-old awakening moment where I would say, hey, I just don't know how to pray. And there are people who can't get closer to Jesus because they say, I don't know how to pray. And what the scriptures teach us from these shepherds is when you're given a little bit of information, just move. Just move from the spot you're in, just in a forward direction to a new spot. Even if you don't know how you're going to get to the core spot, your ideal spot, just move. Because finding Jesus doesn't require that we have a roadmap. It's about moving to new places, and it's about the exploration of the God that we serve. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Draw means to approach or get close. You see, finding Jesus is simply about moving towards Him. It's about you wherever you're at right now, determining that from this point forward, that you're going to find more of Jesus by just moving to a brand new spot. Moving in a direction, even if you don't know all the steps beyond that, you're just going to move to a different spot. Friends, let me encourage you with something. You'll hear about this on January 1st. But one of the most important things for you to determine going into the new year is that you will move into a new place with Jesus, in a place that you haven't been this year. That you would understand where you're at and desire to go to a different spot and just move one step at a time towards Jesus. So we need to move. The second thing is we need to desire. It says, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. That's verse 16. Luke describes their movement. It says they hurried. This is not a nonchalant journey. It's not like, okay, the angel showed up. Let's go find Jesus. They're not just casually walking through the streets of Israel. They're not just walking the paths of Israel just nonchalantly. The Bible tells us that they're in a rush. They're hurrying. And hurrying comes out of our desire. It's this desire not to miss the destination. I was sitting on an airplane about to land in Chicago, and as I'm looking at the map on the screen, I can see the time, and I know I'm looking through my file, and I know what my next flight is going to be. The flight I have at O'Hare is leaving in minutes from the landing point of landing in Chicago. My heart starts to race. I'm thinking to myself, well, there's a good chance we're going to miss this flight. I get off the flight. My missions team is with me. I said, guys, we only have like 10 minutes to get to our gate before they close the gate, and we will miss our destination, and we will miss our flight if we don't hurry. And so we grabbed our backpacks, and if you've ever been to O'Hare Airport, there's this one part of the terminal where you go down, and there's this tunnel. Anybody been there? The tunnel, it all lights up, and we're running through the tunnel. I'll be really honest. I didn't even care if my team members got on the next flight. I was just in such a rush. I was in such a hurry, and I ran like crazy through the airport. I mean, there's a Starbucks on the other side of the tunnel, right in the corner before you go into the main part of O'Hare, and I always stop there. I always stop there when I'm at that airport. I ran right past it. I didn't do any people watching, which I love to do at airports. I just kept running and running and running. I wasn't even paying attention to my team. I just ran to the gate. And as I got to the gate, there's no one in line. The lady says, are you coming on this flight? And I said, yeah. And she says, you almost missed it. And we got on last second. Now here's the reality. Had we got there and she said, I'm sorry, the gate is closed, what it would have meant is that we would have had to wait. We would have got on another plane and we would have got home hours later. It's not like we were stuck. It's not like I was going to be living in Chicago for the rest of my life. But it meant that I would be in Toronto a number of hours later, and it meant that I would see my family a number of hours later. You see, the destination was so important to me that I was willing to go in a hurry. I was willing to pursue in a rush. And the idea of desire from this passage shows us that they aren't just trying to find Jesus, but there's this hurry, this rush inside their heart because they so want to make sure that they don't miss the opportunity to see Jesus. They so want to see Jesus. They don't want to miss it. The importance of finding Jesus is so great that they are in a rush. They're in a rush. You know, in order to find Jesus, there's got to be a desire in our hearts. Something that says, I don't want to miss him. I don't want to miss the opportunity to spend in his presence. I don't want to miss what he has for me. There's got to be this desire in our hearts if we're going to find Jesus. But there's this problem. You see, Romans chapter 7, verse 15 says, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Anybody relate to that verse? Okay, there's six of us. Paul struggles in his own desires for God. You see, there's this tinge of desire to find Jesus. There's this desire in his heart to go after Jesus. But what happens is that his desires for so many other things supersede his desire for God. And if I can be honest, sometimes I'm like Paul, where there's this desire in my heart to be with Jesus, to spend time with Jesus, to find Jesus. But I got other desires, and there's sometimes it's my desire to get some things done in the office or some desires to do something that I enjoy doing, like watching a soccer game or spending time with my family or doing work. And these other desires seem to supersede my desire to spend time with Jesus. I think people who have given their lives to Jesus would say, I have a desire to serve him, but so often we don't find him because we allow the desires of our flesh to supersede our desires for God. So what do we do? What do we do when we can't live out of that desire for Jesus? When every other desire seems to be more important than the desire for Jesus? Paul writes this. He says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, I don't do the things I want to do, the things I desire to do. And then there's a few verses between verse 15 and verse 25 where he's like, man, I am a mess. I'm a wretched person. I'm supposed to be a minister of the gospel, but I am a mess. Whatever am I going to do so that the desire to serve God, the desire to go after him would be the prominent desire? And then he says this line, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And what he's saying is the growing spiritual desire that outpaces fleshly desire comes from God. It comes from God. You see, the shepherds don't have a desire prior to the angelic moment to go after Jesus. The wise men don't have a desire to go after this new Messiah until a star shows up. God steps into both sets of individuals and provides something supernaturally to stir desire in their hearts so they might go after God. And that's the same for you and me, is that in our own ability, we don't have this natural desire to go after God, to pursue God. But God comes along and he supernaturally does something in our hearts to stir our desire for him. He shows up with an angelic choir. He shows up with a star in the sky. He shows up by stirring something inside that says, everything I'm pursuing is leaving me empty. He shows up in the middle of worship and goes, I missed this. He shows up when we're in a rush in the morning. We see our Bible by our bedside and go, I really, really miss getting into that. And there's this desire that's created in our hearts that only comes from God. And so if we're to have desire to find Jesus, we need to really do two things, is we need to ask that Jesus would stir fresh desire in our hearts. Friends, let me just be really transparent with you. For some, we're doing the religious thing, but there's no real desire for more of him. We've lost that. And for some of us, we just don't know what to do with it. And all you need to do is come before God and say, would you stir fresh desire in me again? Would you stir fresh desire in me again? Because when I'm in my lowest moments and I don't have the capacity to go beyond my own fleshly desires, I know that I need a supernatural work of the Spirit to come into my life. And I come before God and say, I need you to stir something fresh in me, God. I need you to stir a fresh desire for you inside of me. And then what happens is God responds to my prayer. And friends, it happens, maybe not right away, Maybe not even that day, but in the next little while, I keep praying. All of a sudden, I have this moment where I feel hungry for God. It's like what you guys feel at 11:30. I'm preaching and you're thinking, will he wrap this up? I'm feeling something in my stomach that's telling me it's time to eat, right? I know you're looking at your watches and I can hear growls, and I know you're not all demon-possessed, so it's got to be something else. This growl, and it's something has been stirred up, and you're longing for food, and the Spirit of God, because we've asked, it comes along, and we start to feel hungry for him. We start to feel hungry. Ask God to stir you up. Ask God to stir desire, and when he stirs you, respond to it. Friends, do not put off the Spirit stirring. Do not, when he's putting that hunger inside of you, and you start to feel the spiritual growl, respond to it. Because I'll tell you this, the more times you ignore the spiritual growl of your stomach, of your soul, of your spirit, the easier it gets to go without him. It's like an individual who doesn't eat. They're hungry, and they don't eat, and they get to the next moment of the day, and they're hungry, and they choose not to eat, and they keep doing that over and over again, and they get to this place where their stomach starts to shrink, and they lose their appetite for food. The same is true spiritually. When you ask God to stir the desire, and something begins to growl in your soul, if you don't respond to that and push in and go after God, you keep ignoring that, then you will start to lose your appetite for God. Respond to the stirring of the Spirit. And so we move, we desire. And then lastly, friends, we observe. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Verse 17. They ask people if they knew. They're walking through Bethlehem, the city of David. They're asking people, hey, do you know where this child is? Have you heard of a baby that's been born recently? And it's a small community, and so people are talking about it. And they're like, yeah, there's a child just down that road somewhere. There's like an inn down there. I've heard a whole lot of commotion, word spreading around the city. And they get to the hotel. They come to the place where Jesus has been born. And they're at the location. And for many people, we would think that once they got to the location, they had found Jesus. But getting to the location wasn't good enough. They had to see Jesus for themselves. They had to find out what Jesus was all about. And they walked into the place where Mary and Joseph was and the animals. And they saw this lady whose hair is all messed up, and this man who's standing there, supportive of his wife, looking over this child. People looking up from the lofts, their hotel area. And they come over to the manger. And there's this little child wrapped up in a cloth, lying in this rugged bed. They look at the baby's eyes. They watch the baby breathe through its nose. The chest rise and fall. Perhaps they even reach down and touch the baby's hand. And I wouldn't even be surprised if Mary said, "Would you like to hold him?" And I can imagine these shepherds holding God in human flesh. And as they look upon the child, as they observe the child, as they watch every breath, as they watch every face movement, as they watch everything about this child, the angel's words come back to them. A Savior has been born, the Messiah. They hold the child going, this is him. This is the one Israel's waited for. This is the one that we have longed for all this time. And what the scriptures have prophesied, what the angels have said, connects to this moment. And this picture, what they see before them, will be etched in their mind forever. This is the Messiah. You see, finding Jesus isn't simply about determining the location. It was about coming to a place of observation where they could reflect upon who he was. And I want to distinguish this morning, because it's easy to miss Jesus. It's easy to get to the location where he is and yet never find him. There are people all over this world who show up in churches every single Sunday. They find the location and they think they found Jesus, but they haven't. They simply have found the location where he chooses to show up. Finding Jesus is more than a location. It's observing who he is. It's about looking intently into who he is. Today's Ainsley's and my 29th anniversary. And it's a good moment. Thank you. We've been together for about 31 years. Dated for just over 2 years before we got married. And you know, the first date, really liked her, thought she's pretty amazing, liked to pursue date number two. This went on for quite some time. And then on March 1st, 1993, at Durham College, I interrupted her class and I proposed to her in the hallway because the teacher wouldn't let me in the room. Stupid teacher. And I proposed to her in the middle of that hallway, and I declared to her, "You are the one that I want to spend the rest of my life with." Now, people will think, hey, when you started dating Ainsley in 1991, you found your future spouse. The truth is that I hadn't. I had simply started dating somebody that I was curious about. Two plus years of watching her, observing her, listening to her, talking with her, watching how she interacted with family, watching how she responded to me, watching how she responded to God, this observation, until I got to this place and I thought, this is the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with. And on March 1st, 1993, I declared to her, I have found my future spouse, provided you say yes. I found her at that moment. But everything up to that was simply, it was simply observing. And friends, you can come to church, to the place where Jesus is. You can read your Bible. You can be religious and be aware of Jesus, but not truly find him unless you observe and find out who he actually is. Find out who he is for your life. You see, Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste and see. You experience him for yourself. Don't just hear the preacher talk about Jesus. Don't just come to the location where people are singing about Jesus. Don't just be in an environment where it's religious and it's about Jesus. But you taste and see him for yourself. You grab hold of him and observe him for yourself. And friends, if you're going to truly find Jesus, it's not about coming to the place where Jesus is. It's about finding him and observing him and tasting him and experiencing him yourself. That's finding Jesus. So what have you observed about Jesus' goodness? What have you observed about his provision? What have you observed about his protection? What have you observed about his blessings? What have you observed about his grace and his love and his acceptance for you? As you watch him, there comes a point where you say, I think I found Jesus because I've watched and I've heard and I've experienced, and this is the one I want to follow. Finding Jesus is about observing him for yourself. The adulterous woman had heard about this Jesus. Everybody in the community was talking about him. And here she is with her head scoured down, and she's waiting to face her death as there are a bunch of men before her who are about to throw rocks at her because she's guilty of adultery. And she hears the voice of Jesus. He's in the location, but she hasn't found him yet. Jesus turns to the men and says, "Hey, you who are without sin, cast the first stone," and she could hear it. And one by one, she hears the sound of rocks dropping. He's in the location, but she hasn't yet found Jesus. And then Jesus turns to her, "Ma'am, just look at me." And as she looks up, she looks into the eyes of the Son of God. She sees a grace that she's never seen before. She sees a love that's so pure that she's never seen in any other man. She sees a look upon this face, that a look that's so different from everybody else's. And before he even speaks the words, "Go and sin no more," before he even speaks the gracious words over her, she knows that she has found the Savior, the Messiah, because she observes something about him that's unlike anybody else. Friends, you want to find Jesus? It's not about being religious. It's not about coming to church. It's not about just going through the motions of doing devotions. It's about looking into who this Jesus is, observing and reflecting on Him until you see His face. Then you'll find Jesus. Pastor Steve and Jess, would you guys come back? Just over a month ago, Ainsley and I had the opportunity to go through Italy, as many of you are aware. We had spent a few days in the front end before our ministry began, visiting a couple key cities, Rome and Venice. When we were in Venice, we had got there on the Monday night, and crazy boat experience that got us to our hotel too late to really explore the city. We got up the next morning and we had booked a gondola ride. We want the full experience, and so we set course for the designate spot in my GPS and put in Waze and made our way there. And as we were heading towards the gondola ride, I looked over and there was this big lineup for this church. And I mean, it's early in the morning, and I thought, this is crazy. Look at the lineup. Like, it's like we've gone through, like in Rome, we went through so many churches. It's just ridiculous. I don't want to go and see another church right now, especially with a lineup like that. And so we did our gondola ride, and we explored the city. And that night, as we were walking through the city, I saw this poster on this wall. And it was a famous picture, and I'm going to ask that the media team just puts it up on the screen. It's this picture right here, and it's this picture of Jesus that was done during the Byzantine era. It's one of the most famous pictures of Jesus. And I saw this picture. I've seen it so many times in books and in media. I've seen it so many times. And I read a few things on the poster that I could understand. And that night when we were finished touring everything, I went back to my room, and I pulled up my phone, and we were just kind of chilling, and I looked up the picture. And I realized that that picture was found in this church that I had passed. This famous picture of Jesus, this mosaic picture of Jesus, was in that church. I said to Anza, I was like, oh my gosh, we walked right by it. It was there. We could have seen this picture, but we didn't know it was there. We were too busy looking at everything else. And I completely missed the opportunity to see this picture of Jesus. It was available to me, but I was in too much of a rush to see everything else. Friends, at Christmas, we can miss Jesus because we're so busy looking at everything else. In life, we can miss Jesus because we're so busy looking at everything else. We don't want to be inconvenienced by lineups and whatever it may be. And here is Jesus fully accessible to us, and we can walk right by Him day after day after day. Jesus is available. Let's not miss Him. Let's move from the place we're at to a new spot. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to stir fresh desire in us, and let us look upon Jesus and observe Him until we truly find Him. Maybe you've been going so fast, maybe you've been so busy that you haven't actually taken time to truly focus in on Jesus. Maybe, yeah, that doesn't mean you haven't read your Bible. That doesn't mean you haven't prayed or come to church. It just means you've been going so quickly that you've really missed the opportunity to look into how great He is, how amazing this Jesus is, to get the shepherd's attention. God sent the star to get the wise men's attention. For those of us who know Christ, I pray that this next season of our life would be a season where we'd find Jesus in a greater way than we've ever found Him before. That God, we'd move from the place we're at to a new spot. That we would just keep growing in our faith. We would move forward and we would draw close to God, and Jesus, You would draw close to us. I pray that You would stir more desire in our hearts so that we might know You in a greater way. God, put that hunger, put that growl in our spirits for You, and let us respond right away. And I pray that we would take the time to observe, not simply show up at the location where He is, but we would observe You, we would watch You, we would experience You, we would taste and see that God is good. We would taste Your love, we would taste Your peace, we would taste Your joy, we would taste Your forgiveness and Your grace, we would taste You and see how great Jesus truly is. Let this be a season in the midst of busyness, in the midst of life, that we would truly find Jesus, I pray. And so, Lord, let this next year be a year of pursuit for us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.